probably the most powerful thing I've ever done, ever utilized, and still do to this day, because I got grandkids and I apply it in business, quite honestly, and coaching. But I judge my kids in the yardsticks of their years, not mine. It's always given me patience and perspective.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have the one and only Merrill Hodge. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, my brother. Look forward to it.
Thanks for taking the time. We're talking, of course, about the work you're doing with Sportsgate. I think a lot of parents will be interested in hearing about this, how to keep, you know, kids and athletes safe. We're going to talk about your time in the NFL, but love bringing guys on yourself who appreciate their fatherhood journey. Take me back when you found out you were going to be a dad. What was going through your mind, man?
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. I was probably somebody that had really, I didn't envision having kids, or I never really thought about having kids. You know, I wasn't a big focus of mine, quite honestly. You know, when I got married and my wife got pregnant, I didn't realize the significance until actually my daughter was born. And then that's when my world changed. When I saw her and laid my eyes on her for the very first time, when she entered the world, it was, my life changed for the better, quite honestly. But it brought things out in me I didn't know existed, you know, and I really, there was a few things that were an emphasis. It was that I was going to protect her, I was going to love her, and I was going to teach her. And those things were really instrumental in my thought process, and I've really been pillars and principles in my parenting, in the journey. I've learned one. I use Find a Way that's been instrumental in my life in every phase. It's been an instrument and a tool as a parent, not just to challenge my kids to find their way, but challenge myself as a parent to be better, break chains that needed to be broken, that I grew up in. And it came across another parenting tool that is probably the most powerful thing I've ever done, ever utilized, and still do to this day, because I got grandkids and I apply it in business, quite honestly, and coaching. But I judge my kids in the yardsticks of their years, not mine. It's always given me patience and perspective, you know, and it's still being used today, even though my kids are 29 and 27, you know, they're doing things and learning about things in life that we, you know, as you start having your own home and your own responsibility, there's a lot of learning that goes on there. So I love it. It's the best thing I've ever done. I love talking about it and helping people with it, because I think it's, you know, we need to do. I'll give you one little thing that I experienced after my rookie year. I went back and graduated. I did student teaching. Now, anybody that's a teacher, let me just tip my hat to you, because I have enormous respect for you. Yeah. In fact, that motivated me to play in the NFL as long as I possibly could. But I realized really where the problem exists in our country. And this was, you know, back in 1987, 1988, is, you know, it's the front door of every home in America. You know, what are our, you know, do we have parents that are invested in their kids? You know, and what is, you know, are we investing accountability, respect, love, kindness, those things, you know, are they getting that type of modeling? You know, we can blame anything we want. You can blame government, you can blame church, you can blame schools. At the end of the day, it starts in the home. And I really saw that as a teacher. I was, you know, I just, many examples, quite honestly. And that's where it all starts and ends, you know, unless we get to do a better job there. And so I applaud people like you that are, you know, helping. You know, some people may get put in a situation that they don't want to be in as far as a parent, and just to help them maybe realize the significance of what they're going to do in the journey of their life. You know, this will be the best thing and the most important thing that they do.
Well said, Merrill. I 100% agree with everything you said. And I feel like you're such a factor back, because you already answered some of my questions I had before about, I love the pillars. I love how you say it starts from home. I agree 100%. The foundation of good people starts at the home. So I appreciate that. You know, I love the fact that you also, you know, was a student teacher as well. So you know that you can learn from the students as well as, you know, the students learning from yourself and teachers
absolutely.
That. What is something that your kids have taught you about life? And you also mentioned patience. So patience is one, but is there another thing that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life that you'd like to share with me?
Well, gosh dang, I think I'm learning something each and every day. I continue to evolve. And I think it's important that we listen to kids and we watch kids. I quite honestly, I watch their behaviors. I watch how they are with people and themselves. And there is no biases. When you're watching kids, they all get along. They mingle with one another. There's no, you know, how much do you make? What color are you? You know, male or female? You know, do they have their little spats? Yeah, but there's a genuineness with kids if we watch them. I've always thought, you know, shoot, we ought to put some of them in leadership roles because, you know, when they absorb stuff, they're pretty simple and poignant and oftentimes correct. They're like, well, why are you doing, you know, let's say, why are you doing that? That's not right. And they're right. It's not right. But why as adults do we continue to proceed down some roads that we know are not right when we know they're wrong? So I could go on with lists and lists and lists, but I think that, you know, I'm actually here with my all my kids. It's my birthday yesterday. Well, thank you, man. But what's the greatest, when I have my greatest birthdays is when I'm with everybody. On my 50th, everybody came together. My wife flew everybody in as they surprised me. My 57th, we all got together. And to have my grandkids, I have four grandkids, you know, from 9 to 1 year old. And, you know, my daughter, who's 29, my son's 27, his wife, her husband here, just to have them all, my wife, it's just like, honestly, I mean, watching these kids at all different ages and seeing the differences in them, learning from them. Just, I guess the thing I'm trying to get to when we think about kids is there's just a certain genuineness about kids. There's a correctness about kids. The way they say things, the way they think about things. If we'd stop for a second and go, I never thought of that. And it's okay. I guess one thing that I've taught my kids that they've taught me too is it's okay to be wrong as a parent. You're not always right. You know, and to let a kid know and your child know. I've been many times I say, listen, I'm going to tell you, I did it wrong. I apologize for this. Because I learned that if I could share that with them, I get more of that in return, their honesty. And they're not going to lie to me. You know, they're going to be accountable when they're wrong. And I think that's the kind of the bridge that we eventually built as, you know, parents and kids. And now I watch my kids and them being parents and being to help that process.
Yeah.
And last thing I probably can leave you, I don't know, it's not exactly what you asked, but it's what I've experienced that the thing that impacts kids the most. And I take inventory of this very carefully by things that are fed back to me is what your model is, what they see you do. That's a lot more powerful than what they hear you saying. And I could tell you example after example after example of that, where unsolicited, my daughter will say, you know, Dad, I was always moved by watching you work out when you went through chemotherapy. Now, I had no idea. I mean, I have some video of her walking on a treadmill with me, but you have no idea because I'm passionate about my health. I think there's a responsibility we all have in helping teach your kids about the proper way to eat, care for themselves. It's not just good for the physical body, but the mental health of things. And they really garnered more by the modeling than by what I was saying. And that is true in almost everything, you know, with life. Sure, there are some things that they heard that meant something, but it was what they saw that mattered most.
100% agree. I mean, spot on with everything you said. And I really appreciate you just kind of talking about how you look at parenting, how you look at, you know, your kids' parent, and you're spot on. Like, you can talk as much as you want to talk, but if you're not walking that walk, they're gonna be like, well, he's not doing that, and he's told me to do that. So I agree. And this week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being sponsored by BetterHelp. Past few years, life has been full of twists and turns, stress, changes, grief, and moments of growth, and moments where you feel like you're taking two steps back. It's important for you to show up for yourself through all the struggles that life can bring. BetterHelp is an online therapy that can help you with those twists and turns and will assess your needs and can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. I have found, talking with other dads on this podcast, that getting help is not only good for you, but for the whole family. BetterHelp is not a crisis line.
It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online, and the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log on to your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable and traditional than offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp is a great way to show up for yourself and invest in your well-being. And plus, investing in your own well-being will help you and your family as well. Visit their website and read the testimonials that are posted daily so you can see for yourself how other people have been helped with this program. In fact, so many people are using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. You have a special offer for my listeners here at Art of Fatherhood. You can get 10% off your first month when you go to BetterHelp, that's Better, HELP.com/Art of Fatherhood. That's Better, HELP.com/Art of Fatherhood.
You know, you mentioned health. Talk about, like, you know, I just saw the information that you're working with Sportsgate and the Sportsgate app, especially now with a lot of kids doing maybe sports, like, you know, concentrating on one sport instead of like maybe all the others. When I was growing up, like, you played all the sports, right? And for school, yeah. Different programs. Talk a little bit about what you're doing with Sportsgate, because I think I know a lot of parents would appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, this is something that is I'm passionate about because I've lived as a actual patient, parent, a coach. I've lived every aspect of it. I've done extensive research. I've even went into science centers, removed brains and cut brains with a 3-board certified forensic professor, Dr. Cummings. So I've done stuff I never dreamt, but I did it for a reason. So I understood the truth. And then I had the evidence of the truth. So I always establish that, because what I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that I can't prove to you. I'm not making up stuff. And that's where I think this narrative has gone completely off the rails, is you've had a lot of people out of the Boston University area who have manipulated, abused, and misused science. They have lied about the actual research that does exist. And all the research that, and the media has done a poor job of following up and doing their due diligence as journalists and reading the scientific information. And that's not, you don't Google that. You got to go to JAMA, scientific journals, to get the proper information. So if you didn't do that, you can't know the truth. And the reason I know that, because I wandered around that for a long time, like, you know, not knowing where do you find the right information. So once I finally did that, I think the thing that I try to bring to parents is, you know, most people live in fear because they're uninformed and they're scared of something because they're not educated or they don't understand something. So when you think about head trauma, the thing about, I think head trauma that is the most important thing to understand is, what's the leading cause of head trauma? And when you think about that, and while your listeners and viewers will ponder that for a second, a lot of people think car accidents, then people go to sports. I'm going to take car accidents away, and you can combine sports and times it by two. You're not going to even come close to this number, but it's tripping and falling. Tripping and falling is the leading cause of head trauma, by far. The leading cause of head trauma in this country. Next, it is car accidents, wheeled sports, things like that. So that first thing ought to get your attention, that it doesn't just happen in sports. So we should be aware and educated, informed on, A, if it happens, what do we do? What are the steps in evaluating? And then what are the next steps to proper care? And then the steps of proper care back to the environment, so they're a much safer participant. And I say environment because it's not just sports, because the most dangerous environment, the area that it will probably happen, is going to be your home. You know, you slip in a shower, you trip on the stairs, you fall in the backyard. So it's probably going to happen at your home. It's not even going to happen in a sporting event. So instead of worrying about having head trauma, be prepared if it does. Because the best thing you can do, if it doesn't happen, no matter where it is that you remove that person. Don't let them continue in that environment. So you start to care for them right away. That will be the best and safest thing that you can ever do. And then the type of care that they get, and there's a lot of great care in this app. That's why the app's so important, because we help you get to the care, We help you walk through the steps. We help you with the protocols so that we can remove all of that fear, along with educating it too. And I use this example all the time. I understand that fear and concern. I lived in Arizona for a long time. I remember the first time I moved there, it was summertime, the pool we were opening, and every news story was about the drownings of the previous year and all the warning signs. And I was like, oh my, my kids are like 2 and 4. I'm like, you know, get swim lessons, have this at the pool, this at the door, and no CPR. Well, I did all the swim lessons, all the bells and whistles, but I didn't know CPR. So I couldn't sleep. And I was like, man, I'm just praying nothing happens. Cause if I get put in a position to do CPR, I don't know how to do CPR. So I was talking to the swim instructor one day and she goes, oh, we do CPR lessons. We teach you how to do CPR. So I went there, got my kids swim lessons and learned how to do CPR. Here's what happened. Now I was prepared, educated, and informed that if something did happen, I didn't live in fear of it. I know how to respond to stuff. I had tools to handle it. That doesn't mean it wasn't going to happen. I was just in a better position, prepared to handle it. And that's what we're trying to do with head trauma, put you in a position of empowerment and not have you live in fear, give you hope and give you information. And then first thing you want to think of too, when people have head trauma, people think, oh, they're going to have some cognitive behavioral issue later in life. Absolutely not true. In fact, there's no scientific evidence to back that statement. And if somebody says that, then they are completely incorrect and they are uninformed. And if they're going to say it, then ask for the information to back it. Don't just let somebody say that, then back it for me. Because I can back you literally scientific evidence after scientific evidence that, listen, you can have symptoms from having head trauma, but that is not a brain disease. And that can be cared for and treated and repaired. I don't know if you remember a guy named John Saunders, worked at ESPN. He was one of the godfathers of ESPN for years. Okay. He trips and falls in the studio. Okay. No, again, trips and falls in the studio, tripping and falling. He dealt with post-concussion symptoms for years. I finally got him to UPMC and Dr. Collins in Pittsburgh. And UPMC is fantastic, but there's other resources. It's not just there we can, and this is what the app does. It helps you with getting you to good care. But, and I told him, I go, listen, it's going to probably take you months before you finally have the fog lifted, but you're going to call me. You're going to call me when it happens. Because it happened to me, even though I didn't go through treatments and protocols back in 1995 when my career ended, because they didn't exist. They exist today. And that's what we need people to know. John Saunders, about 4 months later, driving over the Whitestone Bridge in New York, calls me up about 10 o'clock at night. It was late at night. He's like, Heidi, you're right. The fog lifted. And he felt so. My point in you sharing that is there is hope. We want to give people hope and the information that, first of all, if you handle head trauma right, you know, and you deal with it, and most head trauma doesn't require an ER visit, but that's where people go right away because they have no other resource. ER people just making sure you're okay, just to move you over to someone who's an expert in it. So we help you with those steps to get you to that expert, get the proper care so you can return safely back to the environment that you once loved and were a part of when it happened. That might be just playing in the backyard, a trampoline, not just sports. So I'm passionate about that, along with educating and informing about nutrition and health, and sugar consumption, and how important activity is for your kids to build resilience and really a tool belt of life to apply to the things they're going to do versus just sports.
Merrill, thank you so much. I think the biggest thing, like in anything, especially in parenting, is like education and, you know, teaching the proper things to your kids. And obviously they're going to give you life lessons as well. But I think we live in a culture where you see a soundbite, you see a tweet, you see whatever, and it's like, oh, that's gospel. I'm, you know, and right. Living in fear. Once you educate yourself, and I applaud you for learning CPR, you know, there's so many things that if we're just focused or motivated by fear, things aren't going to happen. But if you educate, I think like the biggest thing that you're stressing is just be educated, learn, get the facts, and make sure you're doing the proper research and where you're getting your research from. Right.
Exactly right. And that's why, you know, this app is so important, because the one thing, there was a few things that I will never, ever partner up with anyone unless I know they have integrity, you know, and accountable, and that they can back what they're talking about and the information, and we're the standard. Okay. There's nobody going to be better. Is there going to be some good progress? Absolutely. There's no, you know, and if we have to badmouth somebody, then we got a problem. We don't want badmouth anybody, but because if there's something better, then let's make ourselves that as good as they are. But when I'm thinking about how we think of the science, the protocols in place to create the best environment you can, so you're identifying, removing, and then your proper steps in care, the treatment that you're getting. Like, we're not the standard. If somebody's better, you know, we better get better. But we are the standard in all that aspect. I wanted to make sure that they were and they are, and that we constantly evolve too. It isn't like, hey, we're cool. You know, we're things evolve. You know, things evolve. We better be evolving with it so that we can keep parents, schools, you know, and patients that are a part of this app and use that resource so that they can feel comfortable that they're always on top. We're doing the stuff to keep you always on top. You're not having to search for that, but that you have to do your part of responsibility of learning about it and how to apply it and taking the action to help all of your environments.
Well said, sir. I really appreciate that. Two more questions about the NFL, and we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. What do you most miss about your playing days in the NFL?
You know what? It's really like practices, locker rooms, the relationships that are built that last forever. You know, they don't, there's one thing that they don't go away. And, you know, I've always loved the huddle. You know, I thought when I looked at the NFL, I was like, I think the huddle was created in the NFL for a couple of reasons. One, I think it started with after you ran a play because it was so physical. I thought everybody had a chance to go back to huddle and decide if they wanted to do it again. I thought that's maybe why they created the huddle initially. And they're like, heck, while you're in there, if everybody's okay with it, just call a play. So I'm like, but the huddle, the reason I love the huddle isn't just where the play's called. There's so much conversation. Like, you know, cameras try to get there, but because you got helmets on, it's hard to really tell the conversations that are going on. Like, I could be in there, quarterback's calling a play, and we're listening to the quarterback, but I'd be talking to my left tackle about what's going on and what needs to be done here, or my partner, my other running back or a receiver. You know, so much going on. That's why, you know, it's important for businesses, for the family, you know, to huddle up, because when you huddle up, you know, a lot of things are learned. And then I go back to, you learn more by listening than you learn by talking. So, you know, sometimes you do have to say things, but it's important. Spoke about parenting. I've learned more by listening than I've ever learned by talking with my kids. When you listen to them, it's the same way in sports, whether you're coaching or playing. And the huddle was a great place to do that. I miss those experiences. And, you know, the Sundays at 1 o'clock, they cannot be replaced. But it's all of those other things. Shoot, the grounds crew in Pittsburgh. Yeah. Okay, they're some of my best friends. You know, I mean, now people wouldn't know them, or people that make that stadium run, you know, or the people that are the nuts and bolts of that organization. You know, people, hey, could you have Art, the owner of the Steelers, do AB? I said, well, listen, the Art can do anything. Okay. However, like, it's the people, it's like the strength and conditioning coach, your athletic trainers, your equipment managers, the ground crew, man, those guys get stuff done for you. That's where I start first. And then if they can't do it, then we move on to, you know, somebody like a Mr. Rooney. But it's all of those things that you don't see at 1 o'clock, you know, on Sundays that you miss, but they do extend. They don't go away. It's just the opportunity to build so many throughout the years that eventually ends.
Great answer, sir. Appreciate that. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite, and now this may be for your grandkids over your kids, but favorite family movie. Do you guys have one right now?
Well, okay, we've watched this monster movie. Okay, see, like, okay, listen, I grew up when my kids were little, like, Barney was a big deal. For those people out there that get Barney, some people, yeah, you know, Barney's been gone for so long, people are like, Barney, yeah. Okay, Barney. Now, this is, I would sit there and watch Barney with my daughter, who is like 2 years old. Okay, that if anybody watched Barney, that's when my career ended from head trauma. That's how I watched Barney. That's how bad I was. I could watch Barney and I was okay with that. So, you know, Barney was a big deal when my kids were growing up. Now that's this monster movie that we've watched 100 times. I can't think of, they got every type of monster character. I'm trying to think of
Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah. I wish I'd be guessing. I'm just like the monsters. They come in a door while kids are like, kids.
Oh, Monsters Inc. Monsters Inc. Okay.
There we go.
Okay, cool.
There we go. So we've watched that a lot.
Nice. Week. Favorite artist or musician you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
It was funny. They just got done talking about For my birthday, what they did is they call me Poppy. So they talked about, you know, the best Poppy stories. And so music always comes into play when we were at our cabin up in Idaho that sat on the part of the Snake River that was dammed up. And it's either the Eagles, Bruce Springsteen, Stevie Nicks, or Fleetwood Mac, or Alabama, because I would blast that music. So you talk about like modeling, hearing things they hear and see, or things they see versus hear.
Yeah,
all of them talked about those artists, those bands, and that music during that time. And they love that music, and they still listen to it today.
Oh, I love it. Okay, this you kind of maybe answered. Maybe it was up in Idaho, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
You know what? It probably would be in our cabin in Idaho. In the summertime, rather, it's, you know, and one thing where the cabin set was nice is we could drive an hour to the west entrance of West Yellowstone and go there, or an hour down to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Nice. So we have a lot of options, or an hour up to Big Sky. So we kind of had, and we would water ski, jet ski, fish. I mean, the fires at night, you know, just my kids still the day, those are the things, our best vacations and our best time.
Love it, man. That sounds great. I was going to ask you about your favorite player in the NFL you like to watch right now, but because you're a granddad, best thing about being a grandpa over a father is?
Well, you know what? It's really that, okay, the dirty work, you know, like the things you don't get awards for, you know, is like, you know, listen, Abe's about 11 months. Okay, so he doesn't want to sleep at night. So you can hear him crying from about 3 till 6. Okay, I technically don't have to get up and be with Abe the whole time. You know, his parents are doing that. And I would almost throw in diaper changing. However, that never bothered me. And yeah, it took two of us to handle a diaper that we just had yesterday on my birthday, which we videoed because I was like, I hope somebody videoed this, because this is probably, I don't know, this will ever happen again. The diaper was up the back all the way up to the, I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. So, I mean, I say, well, I don't really have to change diapers, but I didn't mind it. And it took two of us to get it done. But all the other aspects, I mean, I love the teaching aspect, yeah, of being with them and investing. You know, teaching is part of being invested in your kids, being there with them. So making the time to get there is something I'll always do, because you can't expect results if you're not going to invest in it. You know, and that's why the day I saw my daughter and my son, I'm like, every day I'm going to invest in that. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not going to invest to them so they can start understanding. The day they're born, invested every single day. And I see it now. It's paid off. They love to be with us. They want to be around me. They call me up. You know, they're talking about plans of us getting together. They want me to move closer because they moved away. And I was like, there can't be a greater compliment than that. And we will be closer. But those are some of our best times.
Love it, man. And lastly, top three words you hope your son and daughter would use to describe you as a dad, what would they be?
Well, reliable, accountable, and trustworthy.
Great three words right there. People, make sure you follow Merrill on Twitter and Instagram at Merrill Hodge, and go to merrillhodge.com for everything on Merrill. And also go to sportgate.com. That's sport, then gate, G-A-I-T.com. Just from hearing what Merrill's talking about, it's educating yourself and making sure you're not living by fear, but living by education. And it'll go a long way, not just for you, for peace of mind, but making sure your kids are good when they're playing sports. Merrill, I know you're a very busy guy. Happy belated birthday again, and I appreciate your
thoughts,
your father, and I wish you guys continued success, sir.
Thanks for having me. Keep on doing this. It's awesome.
Thank you. I want to thank this week's sponsor of the Art of Fatherhood podcast, which is BetterHelp. They are doing a lot of great work for people looking to get help and just making sure that they can be the best they can be. Remember to get the 10% off your first month by going to BetterHelp. That's Better, H-E-L-P. /Art of Fatherhood. And also want to thank you for checking out the Art of Fatherhood show every week. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And also check out theartoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net, and please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.